Matthew chapter 10. If you have your Bibles or your iPads or smartphones, or and if you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the chair in front of you. I actually, you know, I went to a church growing up that you never touched a Bible. Now that seems weird. It's to me, it's like going to a computer class and they don't have any computers. Or going to a mechanics schooling and they don't have any tools. And I look back now and go, well, that's so strange. You go to a church and never open up the main instruction book that God gives the church. Doesn't that seem strange? Every so often, someone will come to me in the church and say, why do you always have the Bible? And looking at the Bible, I'm like, isn't, you know, coming together, this is an eternal book. This is going to be one of the books up in heaven. So, the main book, Matthew chapter 10. Last week, we were sharing about how we're making a shift in our church. We spent 2.5 years working on the physical building, and now we're going to make a shift and work on the building the church inside the church building, growing the body of Christ and believers. And so we're going to begin to do outreach. And I think it's been kind of exciting the last 2.5 years, but I think the excitement is really yet to come. All right, Matthew chapter 10. So Matthew 10, believe it or not, is the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples on how to go out and share their faith. It just seems appropriate that we're at this section, since this is kind of the shift we're going into. So he's with his disciples, he's got 12 disciples, and he says, hey, I'm going to teach you here some principles, some foundational truths for when you go out and share the good news with others. Now, before we get into them, and I've got 12 principles that I see in chapter 10, I want to back up for a moment in chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." What does Jesus mean when he says the harvest is plentiful? Is he talking about wheat and corn? No, he's talking about the souls of people. People who are ready to give their heart to Jesus. But he says, but the laborers, the workers, are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, go pray to God to send out workers into his harvest field. So the problem isn't that there are not souls ready to come to Jesus. The problem is finding enough people to go out to them to share the gospel. Now, I'm going to give you my bias. I happen to believe that over in Adams Ridge, there's got to be dozens and dozens of people who would give their heart to Jesus if someone would just come and share Jesus with them or invite them to church. I really believe that. I believe in downtown Mars, there's dozens and dozens of people that God's already prepared that are ripe, that are seeking and searching and looking and in despair and spiritually open who would give their heart to Jesus. I believe in Cranberry there are hundreds and thousands of people. And in Butler, I believe that if we could have spiritual goggles, that if we could put goggles on to reveal to us all the people that are actually would give their heart to Jesus, if someone would just come talk to them or invite them to church, I think all of us would be astonished how many people there are already prepared to come to Jesus. I believe that. I think we'll get to heaven and God will reveal to us, hey, take a look over here at Adams Ridge, just across the street from you. Mars Alliance, if you had just gone over there, look at all the men and women and teenagers and children that would have come to the Lord if you had just gone over there and invited them. I think we'll be sick when we realize how many people are actually very open. Okay? So let's get into the instructions. Starting in verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. I want you to come with me to Matthew 28 for a moment. Don't lose Matthew 10. Because I want to talk about this authority. Because the church now has some new authority as well. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. This is called the Great Commission because this is the thing that the church is called to do. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's for us too. Okay? So, the authority is giving us permission. It's giving us a license to share Jesus. You have to have a license for like everything. If you're going to practice medicine, you have to have a license. The state gives you a license, which means you have permission to practice medicine. If you're going to cut hair, you have to have a license. If you're going to be a pastor in Pennsylvania, you have to get a license from the state of Pennsylvania. You can't just open up a church. You have to get a license. You have to have the authority, the permission to do just about everything, okay? Well, God gives us the authority, the license, to go share Jesus with everyone else. Like if you're witnessing to someone and they say, why are you talking to me about this Jesus? You go, your creator, the God of the universe, the one who made you, has given me the authority, has given me permission to share Jesus with you. Okay. So it's an obligation to share, to go forth. Number two, Jesus has a list of his followers. You'll notice in verse 2, he gives a list of the 12 apostles. These are the names of the 12 apostles. There's Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. I love how the Lord loves saving family members and getting family members involved in ministry. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So he's got this list. Here's the list of the first 12 people that are going to go out and share the good news. I was excited to have 150 names, the staff, we all got together and we put the 150 names of all the prayer warriors that want to be on prayer teams and we're creating team. And it was just exciting to me. It's like we're working on a list. And it's like God's got a list up in heaven, just like Jesus has a list of the 12 here he's going to send out. I think God has a list of the Mars Alliance people that he's calling us to go out and share the message. Number three, Jesus is going to send us and he's going to say, go, our mission, go and find the lost sheep. Go and find the lost sheep. I don't know where this is, I have now, since I found this picture this week, I know this actually exists somewhere. Norway. Is it in Norway? Is that right? Well, they're showing people on it. Did you get on that? And the discussion was, would you get on that rock? Would you stand on that rock if you could? So, yeah, no, yeah. Verse 3. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, there is a change. The original 12 apostles were sent to just the Jewish people, to Israel. They were God's chosen people. The original purpose of God was, you're going to win the Jewish people to the Lord. And then they, once they know Jesus, they will go out and share Jesus with the rest of the world. Israel was to be the main witnesses to the rest of the world. That did not happen. Israel hardened their heart. The Jews hardened their heart against Jesus. And so God then brought the gospel to the Gentiles. In the future, in the book of Revelation, the original plan that God had will happen in that when the church gets raptured out, the Jewish people will realize that Jesus is the Messiah. The Jewish people as a whole will turn to Jesus. And out of the Jewish people, 144,000 dynamic evangelists will go out to the whole earth to share the good news of Jesus during the tribulation time. We are to go to lost sheep, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Italian, Irish, African-American, from Mars, from Butler. We are to go to all the people. They're lost sheep looking for the Lord. And we are to go. I can tell you a dying church. A dying church is a church where the people sit and they wait for the people that are lost to come. But actually, and they're dying. They just sit in their church waiting. They're going to die. The command has always been for the church to go. We have to go to the lost sheep. When a shepherd loses a sheep, he doesn't say, let's just wait here until the lost sheep finds its way back to us. No, the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and finds the lost sheep. So we need to go. All right, fundamental truth number four, the message. Verse 7, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Turn back to Matthew chapter 3. And let me show you, it's been the same message that's being preached all along here. Matthew chapter 3. The repent is missing, but I think that's part of it. Repent is, you know, to turn to God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? Is near, okay? And then chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so now in chapter 10, he's telling his disciples, and again, I think the repent, it's not there, but I think they understand that he's sending out the believers, go tell people, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And so go tell people that if they repent and turn to God and give their heart to Jesus, they're going to have a relationship with the King. He's the King of heaven. And someday, he's going to be King on earth as well. And heaven is as close as, if you just repent, heaven is, we have eternal life. We become citizens of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven to me is so, it's so close, it's near for anyone who asks Jesus in their heart. I think we need to keep focused. Like when we're witnessing to people, I know we can get sidetracked into theological issues. We can get sidetracked into politics, whether Donald Trump has hair or not. Or maybe he should get Dave Patton's. That would maybe convince all of us. I think we need to keep the message on Jesus. And you can be born again into God's family. And you can know you're going to heaven. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in their life, the Holy Spirit will open up the Word to them to understand all the other theological issues. I think we make it too complex. I think we should just focus on knowing Jesus, and you need to repent and ask Jesus in your heart. He died on the cross and be born into God's family. Fundamental truth number five, meet the needs of people. Verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples, look, you're going to go and tell people about Jesus and getting to heaven. But verse 8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And the apostles had amazing power. I think it means meet the needs of people. When you, whether it's spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs, social needs, I think when they see the power of God, they're very open to giving their heart to the Lord. So the disciples would go and they would heal people and raise the dead, and they would be signs, and it would open up people to then getting saved. Jesus would do that. He healed 10 lepers. Only one got saved. But he healed all 10 to show the power of God. This is why I just think this is a powerful way to witness. And I think Christians have to get bolder in learning how to pray. So let's say you're at work and your coworker says to you, "My wife just got diagnosed with cancer." Now, tell me what you'll talk. Oh, they've got cancer, but then tell me what's the last thing you usually say to that person? I'll pray for you. See you tomorrow, and off you go. All right? You don't actually pray with them. You just go, "I'll pray for you," and then leave. Guess what? All the other non-Christians in the office, when they hear that, they go, "I'll pray for you too." Okay? See, that's just something we just say. It's like, "How's your, good morning," and you say good morning back or whatever. It's just something you say. I want to suggest to you that you need to get comfortable actually praying with people. And so your coworker just shared about his wife, and you say, "Hey, at lunchtime, I want to pray for you." And so you get together and you pray a simple prayer. Do not think you have to be theologically like, "Thou great, mighty healer of the universe of," that would scare me. You should pray just like you're talking to your Heavenly Father, like your best friends, like you would talk to your own father or mother or good friend. And you pray for God to move in that friend's wife's life, okay? And they get to see, like, they will realize it. Believe me, if they've grown up in a religious world, they know, these people read prayers and they seem stiff. They're going to notice, like, wow, this guy, this woman is talking to God like they know them, like they have a relationship with them. And then you trust God to do a miracle for that person's life. Or if your neighbor's marriage is in trouble, you say, "Let me pray for your marriage." And you pray short, 2-3 minutes. Make it real. Don't make it so scary that this person, or someone's going through financial problems. You say, "Let me pray for you." I will tell you that now you let God do a miracle in their lives, they're going to connect it to you. Even though everyone else said, "Yeah, I'll pray for you. You're going to probably be the only one that actually prayed and talked to God. And when God moves, and you have to believe God does miracles to prayers. When God moves, their hearts will be much more open to hearing about, how are you able to do this? How can you talk to God like that, okay? So that's why I know we're doing teams of four, and I know you don't have to pray in it, but I hope you become comfortable and learn. And I know prayer in public is scary. Even the disciples came and said, "Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? We're not. So it is scary, but I also know that once you start and get comfortable and realize it's just talking to the Lord, just like you would talk to a friend, that, wow, your prayer life will change dramatically. Fundamental truth number 6, freely you have received, freely give. It's at the last part of verse 8. So when you pray for people, Jesus says, when you go out and you pray for people, don't charge. It's free. When you share salvation, it's free. I know that seems like it should be obvious, but for whatever reason, religious people and religious churches often tie money to salvation and to prayer. I used to go to a church where we would have to kneel. We would have prayers. If you wanted a personal prayer, you would go to a church, you would kneel, and you would put money in so that you could light a candle, and then God would answer that prayer when you would light that candle. But you kind of had to pay for prayers. I've been annoyed lately. Televangelists, I don't know if they help our cause or not. I'm sure there's good ones, and there's ones that really look like they're after money. And so you will get in the mail, and I know, maybe I'm getting in trouble since they send everyone this. You get this prayer cloth in the mail. And the instructions are, please write your prayer request on the prayer cloth. Now, put the prayer cloth into the envelope, and for answered prayer, God has revealed to us that if you send $25 with your prayer cloth, that your prayer answer will be on its way. If you want speedy delivery of your prayer request, $50 seems to FedEx your prayer request a lot quicker to you. Now, I know that sounds so ridiculous, and yet millions and millions of desperate Americans who don't have anyone to pray for them personally, you with me? They go to church. They never have an opportunity to come to an altar to get prayer. They go through a service and never can bring their prayer to anyone. There's no prayer meetings. There's no altar time. There's no taking prayer requests. There are millions of Americans are so desperate thinking someone will actually pray for them that they send in the prayer cloth with money. And you know what the TV evangelists do with the prayer cloths when they arrive? They rip open the thousands and thousands. They throw out the prayer cloths into the garbage and they collect your money. Okay? And I feel bad that none of these people have a Christian that can pray with them and that think by paying money, somehow you get your prayers answered when it's free. It's free. And salvation is free. Fundamental truth number 7, trust God to take care of you. Verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff for the worker's worth his keep. This is just, we all need to trust God to take care of us. I know, I share this with people who are going to go into ministry. When I'm training people in Pittsburgh, if you're going to go into full-time ministry, you just have to trust the Lord. Truth number 8, share with the responsive. Verse 11, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if not, let your peace return to you. So look, as you go into towns and villages, look for people who are worthy, who seem open, who invite you in their home, who seem open to hearing the gospel. So look for the responsive. Here's the other side of this truth. Pass by the unresponsive. Okay? So in verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So look for the responsive, the worthy person who's been prepared, and pass by the unresponsive. They're not ready. Don't worry. God's still working on them. Maybe this goes with next one, number 10. Here's the next verse. In verse 16 there, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, or be as wise as serpents and as pure as doves. That innocent as doves, I think, talks about our integrity. We should not be doing deceitful stuff. We should be honest, upfront, you know, real, genuine people. That's the innocent as doves, pure as doves. But the first part is be wise as serpents. Be shrewd, which is it's actually in Webster's dictionary, it's a good term. It means think through. Be strategic. I mean, after all, you're going to go, you are a child of God, you're going to go among wolves, spiritual wolves. Those are people that are not open to God. And they may not like you. And it's not because of you, it's because of the Jesus in you. So you need to be very wise when you're dealing with a hostile group of people. Use wisdom. Find the open, the responsive people. And if they're not responsive and open, don't take it upon yourself. Well, I'm going to keep sharing the gospel to them every single day at work until they crack. Okay? No, that's not being wise. That's being, you know, reckless. And if you lose your job, or if they make fun of you or whatever, you brought it upon yourself. I think it's very dangerous. If you're working in a factory and there's 100 workers there and you come in, hey, I'm going to share Jesus with all of you, whether you want to hear it or not, I'm going to, you know. Well, good luck. Okay. I think you need to be wise. Shoot, I wish people would just follow the instructions of Jesus. He's telling his disciples, look, find the people that are open, that God's already prepared their hearts. The people that aren't responsive, give God more time. They need more seed planting and more watering, but don't get focused on them. Look for the people that are open. There are plenty of people out there that are already open. All right, I got to close. Verse 11 is expect opposition. Much of the world, well, I shouldn't say much of the world, but about a third of the world, the Christians are under direct persecution and attack. Literally, they're sheep among wolves. Okay? There is a hatred growing towards Christianity in many parts of the world. In the United States, I don't think it's necessarily an all-right hatred. I think Satan in the United States is just trying to silence the church. I think that's where he's at. I think it will go on from there. But right now, Satan is just telling people in the United States, shut up those Christians. He's been doing a great job. Because every year now, for 50 years, Christians are sharing their faith less and less and less and less, and to the point that we're almost not sharing it at all. And that's why I feel so bad, because what you don't realize is people are more lost, more confused, need Jesus more than ever. When sin abounds, the Bible says when sin grows, grace grows all the more, that God, they need Jesus all the more. You should shine even brighter in the dark world. Christians, do not give in to the culture that's telling you, keep your faith to yourself and keep your mouth shut. I will claim to you, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. There are people, ask God to reveal the people that are open to the message. And I will claim to you, there's a lot more people open in your job, in your neighborhood and where you work and your family members than you realize. And then the last one is, let's look at this verse here. It says in verse 19, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I love taking soul winning courses. I've done Evangelism Explosion. I love the Four Spiritual Laws. I love the Gospel Bracelet. I like the EvangiCube. I teach evangelism. I teach 20 different methods. But ultimately, you should not worry. And when you're talking to your neighbors or friends, you need to just trust the Holy Spirit. Keep focus on Jesus. Do not get into theological fights. The message is simple. If you repent and give your heart to Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is so close. You can go to heaven because Christ is your Savior. Keep focused on Jesus and not on all the other stuff. And just trust the Holy Spirit for people to see that Jesus is real in your life. Father, I pray you would infuse us with your Holy Spirit, that we would go out, that we would go into the harvest fields, that we would see that there are ripened souls desperately searching and hungry for Jesus. And sometimes they disguise it by getting drunk and partying and drugs because they are so searching and don't know where to go. May we be wise. May we be pure. May we reflect Jesus. May we not get into arguments that often are a waste of time and even drive people perhaps farther away. May we stay focused on the good news of the gospel, on Jesus Christ. Lord, you will have to bless our church. If we do not have your blessing, we will not be able to do anything. May we be men and women of prayer. May you teach us how we can pray for the lost people that we interact with, that they can see for themselves a person that has a personal relationship with you, Heavenly Father. May our prayers be powerful. May they go to you in the name of Jesus through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, under his guidance as we pray. Bless the Mars Alliance Church in the years to come, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.